Thank you. Can you, is it all, yeah, it's all working, that's great. Great to see you this morning. And I want to start the preach with this story that is true. When we lived in Ireland, I had Simon and Sam in the back of the car I was driving, and we had quite a lot of rubbish in the back. You know, we'd had snacks and crisp packets and things like that. And I said to the kids, look, we'll just drive up near the pathway, you know, the pavement, and we'll find a bin, and you hop out, one of you, and just put all the rubbish in so we don't have to take it home. So I saw a bin, I pulled in the car, opened the door, Simon got out and started to fill the bin, and a little old lady with two shopping bags got in the back of our car. And, like, so, you know, she sat there, looked very comfortable. Simon finished emptying the rubbish, got back in the car and shut the door. So we all sat there, you know, and it was wonderful. I could see the kids in the back rear view mirror thinking, smiling, but I knew what they were thinking. It's like, so what are you going to do now then? So this little lady's in there, and I did the absolute British thing, you know, say nothing. You know, like, this is normal. Like, you just pull up and people, random people get in your car and off you go together. And I know what you're thinking too, was it an angel? I have to be honest, unless they shop at Dunn's in Ireland, I don't think this was an angel. It could have been, but she was heavily disguised, I think. Anyway, so we had this lady and we had a few seconds where we just sat there. So I thought, right, well, we'll drive off then. So we drove off with this lady in the back of the car. And after a while, I just said to her, we're going to Moneymore. And she said, fine. And that was it. So the kids were just smiling and laughing, you know, wonderful, no help at all. And, you know, I didn't say anything because I think I was in such shock. And anyway, we got to Moneymore. Simon opened the door, the little lady got out. I don't even think she said thank you, and we never saw her again. And I sort of puzzled this whole situation, and I think what happened in Ireland at that time, that quite a lot of people only had one car, so if the man took the car to work, the woman might go by bus shopping, and then she would hitch on the way home, and I think she must have thought that I'd pulled in to give her a lift, because I don't know what other explanation there could be. But what I felt God wants to talk about this morning is, who are you traveling with? Who are you walking with in life? Now, I don't think so, but this lady could have been part of the mafia. I don't know. You know, I mean, she could have had weapons and all sorts of things in her shopping. I don't know. But she was a complete stranger to me. And obviously, she was in the car. Right in the beginning of time, in Genesis, God's plan was that humankind would walk with God. That was his plan. Because he walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. And that was his desire. And that is his desire for you and I. That we would walk with him. That we would be close to him. You know, God wants us to be close. When Tim's in the car driving and I'm sitting next to him and Zoe's in the back, he can't always hear her terribly well. You know, because she's got a quieter voice, she's young, and the noise of the car. And often Tim will say the word, really? Other grandparents here? And you know what really means? Really, I don't understand what you're saying. Really. But so I know what's going on. And anyway, when I'm not there, Zoe sits in the front on one of these booster seats, and they're close, and they can hear each other. And they have great conversations, and they chat away together, and they sing together because of the closeness that they have. You know, when Jesus walked on this earth, he walked with his disciples. He is not a remote God. He is not a, well, just get on with it, folks. He is not distant from his people. His heart and his passion was always, I want to walk with my people. I want to be close to them. I want my people to get my heart. I want them to understand what grace is all about. I want my people to see that I care about the marginalized and those that have got dysfunction in their lives. I want them to see that I am no God that there's ever been in man's eyes, because I want to be with humanity. And when Jesus ascended and went up to heaven, he gave us his Holy Spirit. And the plan and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is that we will walk with him. You know, God never leaves us, but sadly we can walk away from him. But he gives us his Holy Spirit, so we do not do life alone. We have his presence with us, so we can walk with Jesus through this life. No matter what we're walking through it with Jesus. We are not walking alone. That was never his purpose. That was never his plan. And God works in our walking. The Lord teaches us dependence on him as we learn to walk with him. And as we walk with him, he changes us and he guides us into his plan, which is why it's important that whatever is happening in your life today, keep walking with Jesus. Just keep on walking, because I can assure you, you will come out the other side of this if you keep walking with Jesus. And this morning, you know, you probably noticed I have a real liking for Old Testament characters. And this morning, I just want us to look at Jacob for a minute, the bad boy of the Bible, the Del boy of the Bible, who would trick people and, you know, connive and want his own way. But Jacob's story at the very end is quite remarkable. Something that he says is such a working of God's grace, because despite the dysfunction and the difficulty, and if you've got troubles, read Jacob, because God loved him, even though he walked through all sorts of storms. So I just remind you of the backstory that Jacob is at home with his family and he cheats his brother out of his birthright for a bowl of stew. So he cheats him, and then next his father wants to bless Esau. Well, you know, really, rightly the blessings should have come on Isaac, but this was not the way to do it. So Isaac wants to bless Esau. So Jacob decides to dress up and imitate his brother. So he puts on this costume and he takes in the food and he cheats his father, and he actually lies to his father as well to get the blessing. And the upshot of all that is that his brother now wants to murder him. He says, when Dad's dead, I'm going to go looking for you and I'm going to murder you. So we have a highly, highly dysfunctional family here with all sorts of chaos going on. So Mum says, well, the answer that like a lot of mums would probably say, let's sort this out, go and get a wife. So that's exactly what Jacob does. He runs away. Well, he goes to a relative and he goes looking for a wife. So just remember what Jacob has just done. Just remember who he is. And he lays down to sleep in the open air one night and he has a visitation from God. Talk about God's grace. What did he do to deserve that? Isn't that religious thinking? Who on earth was he that God would visit him with a most fantastic vision of a stairway to heaven? And that in this, that God would give him promises of blessing and prosperity, and that God would be with him. Doesn't that encourage you and I to know that how far we've fallen, we can still have God's grace? And then Jacob does something which is important. It's really important. In Genesis 28, verse 20 to 21, Jacob says, "If God will indeed be with me and protect me on this journey, the Lord will certainly be my God. If God will walk with me, if we do this journey together, then God will be my God." And God says, "Great. You might be mixed up, Jacob. We have a lot of work to do in you, but that is the response I want." And you know, that has been verified in Genesis 31, 13, when God actually reminds Jacob of that vow. He says, "Remember, you gave me that vow. Remember that you said to me, if I will journey with you, then I will be your God." So I don't see this as a throwaway statement, because God actually endorses it a couple of chapters later. This is the best decision that Jacob could have made. And when we come to faith in Jesus, we mustn't stop at salvation. Too many Christians get saved and walk away. They have not in their hearts made that commitment to journey life with Jesus. Why? Because quite often life gets tough. And you hear that phrase, "Well, where is God in all this?" Well, all I know is he's with you. We don't have all the answers, but he promises that he will walk with you if you will walk with him. So then Jacob arrives and he meets Uncle Laban. And by comparison to Uncle Laban, Jacob is an apprentice. Laban's really got it all worked out. I mean, he's been doing it a long time. And every twist and every turn, Laban's got an answer. And in some ways, to Jacob, Laban is a reflection of himself, a mirror image. Have you ever seen a mirror image of yourself? Well, some years ago, when I was in Sussex, I had a phone call from a friend, and she said, "I've just seen you on TV." I said, "I don't think you have." "Oh," she said, I have. I love these conversations. You know, like, it's me. I've not been on television. And she's telling me, "You definitely have." So anyway, she said to me, "You've been on Blind Date with Cilla Black." "Please remember, I'm married with two children." I said to her, "Okay, all right then." So I tuned in to Cilla Black the next week. And honestly, this woman walked in. It could have been me. I mean, it wasn't me, but it could have been me. I'm sure it wasn't me, Tim. And she was the same build, same hair, same voice. And what was really, really strange was she has exactly my mannerisms. And I mean, I could understand why this girl would think it was me, but it wasn't. And I believe that this is what God did. God took Jacob to Laban to say, "Right, son, see this guy? This could be you. If you don't choose to keep walking with me, this is what you could look like. You in your old age will be a master craftsman at trickery. You've had a good go so far, but this is what you could end up like." And Jacob had a hard time with Laban. I mean, he worked 14 years for a woman. Hands up any man in this room who'd work 14 years for a woman with no wages. No one. Right, so this is, I mean, she must have been remarkable that he would work for 14 years for this girl and no wages. And of course, he got Leah thrown in, which was a bit sad because he didn't want her. But so he's got this girl. And he works for all these years. So it's a hard place. I want to say this morning, sometimes God will lead you through difficult places, and it's God. Sometimes we always want to blame the enemy. It is not always the enemy. God is working on our character. He has a work to do. If we are going to be all that God wants us to be and all that we say we want to be, then we must allow God to work these episodes through our life. But they won't last forever. So in that place, he does 14 years for two women. And then Laban realizes that God is with Jacob because he's prospered through him. And he says, stay another 6 years, and this time you can have a salary. But he's still a hard taskmaster, because in Genesis 31, verse 41, the Bible says, this is when Jacob and Laban have a really big spat at the end of this chapter. He said, you changed my wages 10 times. Can you imagine doing a job where in 6 years they change your wages 10 times? You would not be happy. And Jacob wasn't happy about that. But the day came when finally God said, after 20 years, you can be released. And I bet Jacob was thinking, thank goodness. Thank goodness. I'd done 14 years for two women and 6 years for prosperity. God's blessed me, because it says in a dream in the Bible, God showed him about the speckled and the spotted, and I don't know what else sheep do. But he was greatly blessed because God spoke to him in a dream. And so he comes out of this, and wouldn't you be thinking, oh, time for a quiet life, time for some peace. Have you had that in your life where you've gone through a storm and then you're right smack bang into the next one? And that's exactly what's happening with Jacob. Esau, the one that wanted to murder him, is on the horizon with 400 men. And Jacob has just come out of a tough time. And he feels in his heart that he's surrounded by the enemy. And then Jacob does something we should all do when we feel totally overwhelmed. And he was full of fear. We separate ourselves to God. He put his prosperity, he put his family to one side, and he got alone with God. And this is that famous story in the Bible where he wrestles with God. You know, to me, it's a hard one to explain, but I think it's like wrestling off the flesh, because the old man doesn't die easily. But there's something in Jacob that wants to change. There's something in Jacob that doesn't want to be a Laban for the rest of his life. And then God says something totally, just so God. When you're in a struggle, when you're in a storm, and you're thinking some great word from God is going to come, and God says, what's your name? What? Like God doesn't know. What's your name, Jacob? I mean, God, we're just going through this terrible time. Esau's coming. Give me a battle plan. What am I going to do? I've got to get rid of him. And God says, what's your name? And then you have this great point in Jacob's life where he says, I cheat people, I lie, I steal things I shouldn't steal. And God says, great, you've confessed it. You know, our place of breakthrough is often at the point of confession. This is who I am. You know, it doesn't have to be bad stuff. It can be sad stuff. It can be things that you've walked through. It can be regrets, things that are broken. But God says, come to me. What's your name? What do you call yourself? What do other people call you? And God absolutely loves transparency. Truth in the inward parts is what the Bible says. He's looking for us to be truthful, to be honest, to say before him, this is who I am. And God says, great, I'm going to change your name. Don't worry, Jacob. You are not trickster. You are not cheater. You are not liar. You are a man who contends with God. And when we come to Jesus, and we confess all that we are before him, he changes our name and he says, you are loved. You are a child of God. I chose you. This is your new name. Letting go of the past. Jacob, let go of the past. Take hold of all that's new. Be that new creation. I pray this morning we all get a revelation. We've got a new name. God wants us to live in chosen. Child of God. Loved, greatly loved. That is who we are. And then finally, we fast forward to the very end of Jacob's life. He's on his deathbed. And he's about to bless Joseph's children. And then in Genesis 48:15, Jacob says this: "The God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day." That is the first recorded definition in the Bible of the Lord is my shepherd. Long before David ever wrote the 23rd Psalm, trickster, lying, conniving Jacob got a revelation. The Lord is my shepherd. He's no longer just the Lord of Abraham and Isaac. He is the Lord of my life, Jacob. And now he realizes the full implications of walking his life with God. It was a really difficult life. It was full of dysfunction and heartache and difficulties, but he walked it with God. And that's what's going to make the difference in your life and my life if we will get to the end and be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd because I walked all the way through that mess, all the way through that dysfunction, all the way through that chaos, and I came out the other side. And I walked it because God walked it with me. You know, as sheep we wander. And we desperately need a shepherd. You know, in walking with God, we will discover who we really are. And God wants to encourage his people this morning. No matter the storms in your life or what's going on around, he says, just keep walking with me. Just walk with God. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we just thank you. You are a miracle-working God. Father, we just thank you from what we were to even where we are today, Lord. We are so grateful for the power of the cross. And, Father, we just thank you for there are more good things to come as we walk with you. Father, help us, Lord, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much we're tempted to walk away, Father, would you call us back? Would you keep us? Father God, let us keep walking with you as your chosen people, that we can say, Lord, that you are truly our shepherd.